Are you a busy woman who at times struggles with reducing your daily stress? Do you know that you need to slow down but do not know how? If you're looking at reducing your daily stress, you're in the right place. My name is Denise Eckert and I welcome you to the Calm Your Daily Stress podcast. I just love interviewing guests so they can share their stress-reducing tips and techniques with you. Now, if you find this podcast helpful, please share it with someone who struggles with stress. Because lowering our stress will make us a better person, a happier partner, mom, friend, neighbor, etc. And the best part is happiness is contagious. Enjoy this episode. Hi there, it's Denise Eckert, and I love coming on here and sharing different ideas and techniques to help you lower that stress in your life. Because you know what? Living in stress is just not good. And today we've got an amazing interviewee. Her name is Christina Smith, and she's a life coach specializing in confidence and self-love in midlife so that women can finally truly like themselves and how they show up for themselves and their relationships. She's helped people move through tough transitions in coaching and with her book, Inviting Shift. Her focus is on helping women to empower themselves so that they can make their second half the best half by dropping the people-pleasing and perfection and stepping into desire, authenticity, and joy. She's also the host of the Inviting Shift podcast, a place for midlife women to embrace their uniqueness and truth with confidence. So welcome, Christina.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited about this conversation.
So now what inspired you to do this type of work?
We could go all the way back to a really rotten childhood, but it was doing a lot of work in therapy and with coaches and in women's circles that really helped me feel empowered. And I just thought, like, every woman needs to have these kind of skills because it feels so much better than the way I was living, trying to do the perfectionism and the people pleasing and all of that. So it's like a pay it forward kind of thought for me, is that I want other women to get some of what I feel like I've gotten from all of the help that I've gotten.
A lot of us do the people pleasing, and whether we're aware of it or not. Now, why do women tend to people please?
Because we're taught to. I mean, that's the basic gist of it, at least for Gen X. It was really about, it always makes me think about how we say to our little kids, like, good boy, good girl. And what does that mean? That means you're doing what makes me happy. And so when we do that, right, we're always looking for the good girl. Like, I want to be a good girl. I want to get along with other people. And often we think that means like we have to please them rather than we want to fit in rather than belong. And belonging, you know, if you ask Brené Brown, is about being who we are and still being part of, rather than fitting in is really our people pleasing, right? Like, let me show up in the way that these other people expect me to. And I went to like 6 different schools in middle school and high school. So I was always the people pleaser, trying to find new friends. And so in one school, we listened to heavy rock. And then in another school, I was like the pop queen, right? Because it was always about being who other people expected me to be instead of being who I really was. And then I think we internalize that and start thinking, it's not okay to be who I am authentically. And so we can really lose ourselves. And that's why I really love midlife, is like after we're done doing all the things that we should do or we think we should do, we get to really explode into, well, who am I and what's lovable about that, rather than how do other people expect me to show up?
You know what? I just never even thought of it. You are saying good boy or good girl. Yeah, you are. They are doing something for you that you agree with. And it's almost like training a dog. It's good girl, good boy. So even wrapping around that. So I guess you'd say, well, good for you that you did that. Or that's good that you did that. Or how else could you praise someone without having that condescending sort of people-pleasing dig to it?
Wow, look how brave you are. Look how confident you are. Like, I think that those things, like, they complement the characteristics of that child. I heard it just the other day. We were camping and somebody next to us said, I love you when you're a good girl. And I was like, oh, so cringy. Cause I was like, oh, you only love me when I'm being a good girl. And there's going to be moments where I'm not going to please you. Does that mean that you no longer love me, Dad? You know? And so I know that that parent did not mean that message underneath it. I just think that if we want to raise children that are really confident on their own, applauding their characteristics rather than you do what I say and so I like you or I think that you're good, right? I mean, you're probably a good girl all of the time and you make some mistakes.
Yeah. So one thing I struggle with as well is perfectionism. Now, why do a lot of women tend to be perfectionists? I'm not sure if it's as prominent with men. But I know a lot of women, it's perfectionism. Like, we don't move forward because things are not ready. Things are not ready. Can't put this out there the way it is. And we overdo it.
Mm-hmm. Fear of judgment. I mean, that's really what it is that I believe it's another Brené Brown thought is that if it's not perfect, then someone's going to judge me. And if they judge me, I may not be worthy of love and belonging. And so we think that perfectionism is actually something helpful, but it really keeps us in constant judgment of like what being critically judgmental. And I think that that's a real struggle because I used to judge and I used to think like, oh, it's this beautiful skill that I can be so critical and see all the details and everything. And really all it was doing was the more I judged other people, the more I judged myself and vice versa. And it got to a point where the world doesn't look pretty anymore. I mean, at least for me, that was my thing, is that the world didn't look pretty anymore. It was just like full of what could be better rather than what is great about what is.
You know, I grew up with someone that would judge everything. And mm-hmm. I did some research into it as well. And it was a little bit of jealousy. A little bit of, I don't have this, so I'm putting that person down and judging that person. And that became a horrible thing to live with, to be honest with you. And I'm happy I did learn a lot about it, because everything, like some neighbors got a new car. It's not a good car because da-na-na-na. Meanwhile, why don't you just say, wow, look at that new car. Isn't that nice? Never.
Mm-hmm. Right. And the reason we do that, I mean, if you ask any psychologists, is we really don't feel good about ourselves. Yeah. And so what we're trying to do is just level them down to us, right? Like, oh, well, they got a new car. Well, big whoop. It's not even that great because it's not American made, or it's purple instead of the classic gold, or whatever it is. And so it's just one way that we are knocking other people down. And it's like the opposite of what we want to do as women. We want to be able to lift each other up like a rising tide lifts all ships. We want to be able to lift each other up, but when we are in that really critical, judgmental space, it gets really, really challenging. And so my cure for judgment is curiosity. How can we be curious? Gee, I wonder why they bought that car. I wonder what excites them about this car rather than other cars, right? Like all of those things, it shuts down judgment right away, because judgment says, I know exactly what's right and wrong about everything. And curiosity says, what else can I find out about this?
Or can I go for a ride in your car?
Yeah. Like getting curious, like, how did you get that car? How could I earn enough money to buy myself a brand new car? Whatever that thing is, like getting more curious. And so that's just one tip I have for y'all today. If you find yourself judging yourself, be curious. Like, what if the opposite is true? I can say, ah, Christina, you're just not creative. And then all of a sudden I can be like, well, where is my creativity? Maybe my creativity doesn't show up like other people's. And so I can start opening questions rather than just telling myself, well, it's impossible. I've never been creative before, so it must not be true.
Now, we did talk about people pleasing and perfectionism. Are there any other obstacles that women come across sort of hitting that, the empty nest, the midlife part of their lives?
Yeah. For me, it's about emotional discomfort. And one of the big things that I learn with women is we don't know how we feel anymore. And I love how you opened up with the word stress, because I feel like stress is this overhanging umbrella for anything that makes us uncomfortable. And a lot of those are our emotions, right? And again, childhood things, that's nothing to be angry about. That's nothing to be sad about, right? These are maybe some of the messages we got. And so we started not trusting our feelings. And we started going, feelings don't matter. Let me just shove them down and I won't have to deal with them. I'll put them in a box in the closet. But by midlife, that closet is full of boxes that are ready to fall on our head. And we can't figure out why it feels so heavy instead of fun and light. And then we start doing things like blaming it on culture, which kind of is culture. Like after 40 or so, women become less visible, let's say. But it's also we haven't dealt with all this stuff, all this human stuff. We treated ourselves like we're robots. Let me just get through the day and do the next thing. And so stress can come from just these unhealed emotions. And the reason that is because they're uncomfortable and nobody taught us how to use them. Happy is comfortable for a lot of people because that's the goal. That's what we're always supposed to feel according to culture. But it's like that's like a smidgen of our human emotion. And none of the emotions are wrong. They're all just messengers. It doesn't mean that if I'm sad, I can't also have joy. We're very complex human beings, so we can hold both, but it's because somebody told us it was wrong to be sad or especially angry. Women have been told that anger is not attractive and we don't want to show anger. But the reason we're so scared of it is because the only time we saw anger was probably in unsafe ways, or we were told that it's not acceptable and we just had to shut it down. And so the more that we get to know our feelings and the messages behind them, we can take the messages, but not be overwhelmed by them. It's just like fear. Dr. Susan David calls courage fear walking. Like we can still walk through the fear, even though we're having those emotions. But what we do instead is we just try to shut them down and then they come out. It's like a bop-a-mole, right? Like if I bop my anger here, some kind of grief or something shooting out the other side because we haven't really gone through them and all we've done is stuff them. And so I think when in midlife, when we start getting real with ourselves and stepping into that authenticity, that managing those uncomfortable, I like to call them uncomfortable feelings. Lots of people call them negative feelings, but I don't think that that's right. My anger is really informing to me about what I believe about the world. My sadness proves that I really was attached or loved something or something's not showing up the way that I wish it would, right? And so if I can take those messages, I'm like, wow, it sounds like I need to accept something here or maybe surrender or maybe just get that anger out because I think that there is a righteous rage and that they say that we get it in our crone age is this righteous rage is that like, no, some things in the world, it's okay if it upsets me. It should upset me. You know, there's so many crazy things going on in the world. I don't think rage is always a bad thing. Now, it's how we bring it out into the world, how we act with that emotion that can be really dangerous. That's unsafe. But I think if we actually tapped into our feminine and were able to like really feel through the feelings, it would be much different. You know, we could be like, wow, I recognize that sadness and I can also be grateful at the same time.
Now, for someone that's listening that recognizes that they do have the closet full of feelings, and that's the thing too, because a lot of women our age, it's an empty nest. You've got a lot more time to think. So now you open that closet by accident and it's like, wow. Now, is there different things that you can do to start processing these uncomfortable feelings?
Yeah. And here's the thing. I say sit with them. I remember when I first went to therapy and I was like, oh, it was so scary, that big old closet. It was like this big black hole that I thought was going to suck me in and I was never going to find my way back out. And it's not like that. I want you to know that there's a limit to how much you can actually cry. And there's a limit to how much you can feel at one time. At some point, I know it can feel overwhelming, but there is a difference between being unsafe and being uncomfortable. And most feelings are just uncomfortable. We feel like it's unsafe because, ooh, does it feel like something in our body, right? Again, that's just because nobody's taught us that we can actually be sad and that's okay, that we can actually be angry And that's okay, as long as we're exploring it in productive ways. And that is just by asking the feeling, what is it that you're trying to tell me? These feelings are inner wisdom. And so if we just start asking, I promise you, if you start crying, there's going to be an end at some point. And usually for me, even though I can cry, it's like 15 to 30 minutes tops. Like, allowing it out is different than stuffing it in. That's just like, could you imagine if you never got rid of any of the mail you ever got? You would have a closet full of mail, like falling out. And so instead, if we just go through it and go, you know, this is trash, this is recyclable, whatever, like, and this is a bill, the closet full of it is gone. And it's okay to feel those things. I think that the other thing that I want people to hear is, in my childhood, really terrible things happened. And even today, I can be gaslit into believing that they didn't happen, that it didn't happen that way, even though in my mind, I can remember it. So we don't need other people to validate our feelings. We just validate them ourselves. It might be helpful to share these stories and things with other people in a safe places, but we don't need them to validate that. Wow, that was really rough for me. My mom doesn't have to agree that how I was raised was rough for me just because her life was rougher. I get to self-validate these feelings and say, wow, little Christina. I always talk to my archetypes and I have that little Christina in me. And I'm just like, wow, that sounds really hard.
Now, I understand you have a free class that you can offer to the audience. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah. So I was just talking about my inner child, Christina, right? And archetypes is something that Carl Jung came up with many, many moons ago. And even though he didn't define the archetypes, many psychiatrists and psychologists have since then. I have an archetype class. They're feminine archetypes, and they're aimed at midlife and the different skills that they bring. So for me, compassion is about having that inner child with me, having compassion for her. That's even my mother archetype, nurturing her, reparenting. So that's an archetypal thing, is reparenting ourselves, is like having that mother archetype and that inner child. And we have the queen and we have the crone, which I hope that more women will look into, because every time I say the crone, there's always somebody over 60 or 70 that's like, the hag, I don't want to be a hag. But there's real gifts that this crone archetype has, and I lean deeply into them. So there's all these different archetypes and all these different skills that we can get. And the reason I find this so important is because we can start pulling away those voices. I don't know about you, Denise, but for me, I am constantly having like six voices going off in my head when I'm trying to make a choice, and I can't figure out like how they can be so opposite. And the archetypes help us start pulling, oh, right, my warrior wants to keep working while my mother wants to go nurture my plants, and my queen wants to go make big plans for the next goal. And that's why we have all those opposing views. So I have this free archetypes class that I hope that you'll all go take advantage of, go explore some of the different energies and see if you can start pulling those voices apart for yourself.
Now, do you find out what archetype you are in your course?
We are all of them. I mean, that is the point of them, is that whenever I do this, they're like, well, and if I asked women what their archetype was, 90% of them would tell me warrior. Oh, I'm really good at getting productive and getting stuff done. But that's the sad part, is that we're losing all these other energies that might actually be serving us better. Like my queen, my inner queen, constantly has to tell the warrior to step down. Like, this isn't that important. It's not that deep. We're gonna do this from a big picture kind of view. And that's what she wants to look at. We also have our angry adolescent who wants to, that's not fair. Have you ever said that? That's not fair. Yeah, that's my inner adolescent always going, that's not fair, it's a justice fighter. And so we have all of them. And I think where we go wrong is we spend so much time in warrior that we've exhausted all of them. And the warrior is exhausted. So I hope that in this course, you'll find some new archetypes that aren't just the warrior, that you'll tap into, that you'll be like, wow, I really could use more lover energy. That would be great. So yeah, we're all of them.
And that's the thing, Titi. I mean, in my opinion, you have to be that warrior to go ahead and push through. When you have roadblocks, you need that hurdle to jump over. So that's really wonderful that you're introducing different types and that mm-hmm. we can encompass different ways of living all at the same time. And yeah, slow down that hard-ass bitch warrior.
Once, right?
Yeah.
A lot more balance, I think. And because the warrior is such a masculine archetype that many psychologists, when they first started doing it, it wasn't the women didn't have a warrior. The women had mother. Because that was our warrior back then. But now we've taken on this role of production and protection for ourselves that one takes over so much. And there's so many gifts in the other ones that could do some of the things so much better. I use a lot of my lover now when I'm working rather than my warrior, because my warrior can be like, let me get it done real quick and check the box. And my lover goes, I want to enjoy what I'm doing, because if I enjoy what I'm doing, other people are going to enjoy it more too. So my lover can slow that warrior down and go, no, 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 life is beautiful. Let's sit in the beauty.
Wow. That sounds amazing. So we're going to wrap this up. So what are your final words to the audience today? Your words of wisdom.
My words of wisdom are usually always the same, which is be gentle with your humanness. And that includes your feelings, the way that we think, your failures, all the things that you don't like about yourself and all the things that you love about yourself. So just be gentle with it, because we're not robots.
Yeah. And we tend to be very hard on ourselves too. I mean, I was watching this one thing where it was the difference between a man and a woman. The man wouldn't even think twice of it. And here we're thinking we should have, and we should have, and we should have. And we're always putting ourselves down, looking into our past and what we should have done and what we should have, blah, blah, blah. So you're basically demeaning the work that you've done as well. Instead of celebrating what you have gotten done or what you did do, instead you should have done more. You should have done this. You should have done that, which is not a very good feeling, because then you feel it's adequate.
There's an actual study, men and women going for job interviews, and men are like 20 times likely to overspeak their achievements and be like, yeah, I'm awesome. Of course I am. And women are like a fraction of the time doing that, but most of the time kind of undermining those achievements. Like, yeah, well, I had a team and yeah, that came easy to me. And so, I mean, that just is one example of like the difference of how we see ourselves and how we present ourselves.
Well, thank you so much for your time here, Christina. It was amazing. And yeah, anywhere you're watching or listening to this, I will have her links there and her class. And if you have any questions, please feel free to reach out and ask Christina your questions. So thank you so much for your time today, Christina.
Thank you, Denise. I appreciate this.
And just leaving you a gentle reminder to slow down and enjoy your life. And I'll see you in the next episode. Thank you for listening to the Calm Your Daily Stress podcast. Have you ever wondered what your stress personality is? Are you a self-care goddess or a burnout queen? Well, you can find out by taking my free quiz. You just need to go to www.stressquiz.info to find out where you rank. Sending you love and peace, and I'll see you in the next episode.